بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ألا له الخلق والأمر، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So just to review what we covered in the first class, the introductory class last week, was the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and when He created us, He made within us a certain composition, which we'll cover today. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses His creation of the world, where He swears upon certain things that He made to explain one major point. And that is, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. So, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Allah Ta'ala swears by the nafs, the self, and how He apportioned it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And that it will. So, Allah Ta'ala, so covering what we did last week, I'm going to cover it quickly now. It's basically Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala swears by the nafs and how it's apportioned. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That some of the nufus, the selves of the person, and I'll explain that today, inclined towards fujur, evil. Some inclined towards taqwa. Then Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is that one who has purified his nafs. And then deprived is that one whose nafs got the better of him. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Then we also covered last week that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built the Kaaba, that he made certain du'as. One of the du'a was, O Allah, sent from them a messengers, minhum, from amongst themselves, four responsibilities. Recite the verses, the wahi, to teach the book, meaning the Qur'an, teach the wisdom, referring to hadith and sunnah, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and to purify them. But when Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua, and He repeated in Qur'an to show His acceptance of this dua, He said what? That the responsibilities of Prophet ﷺ will still remain four, but the order will change, to show the importance of one specific idea. The first one will remain the same, that He will recite the revelation. And by reciting the revelation, the idea basically refers to the fact that He's going to recite the verses that come, because that's the role of a Rasul. Then the second thing is that He's going to purify the people. So that one from number four to number two. Then He'll teach the book, meaning the Qur'an, the principles and the rulings and the application, and then the hikmah, the wisdom, the sunnah. So that was last week. Very brief rundown. And we spoke about the importance of tazkiyah. So this week we get into this topic of what is the composition of a human being, what is a human being made of. Anytime you have any item, if you don't know how it functions, it's not going to be of any benefit. If we don't know how to turn the speakers on upstairs or raise the volume, then the sisters will be sitting there and then they won't be able to hear. If we don't know how to make the camera function down here properly, then the sisters will not be able to see the board. If we don't know how to... If I pick up the marker and start writing with this side rather than this side, if I write with this side, nothing's going to happen. No one's going to gain any benefit. So you have to know how to utilize something. And to know how to utilize something, you have to know what it's composed of. This marker is composed of a plastic covering. This plastic covering allows me to grip it properly, prevents me from getting ink all over myself. Inside of it is an ink, and there's a protrusion outside onto the tip that allows the ink to come from outside of this marker onto some surface where I'm writing. This microphone, if I were to use this microphone and then utilize it this way, no one's gaining any benefit. Because all of a sudden I'm speaking to the wrong side of the microphone. If I turn the microphone backwards, no one's going to gain benefit. I'm speaking to the wrong side of the microphone. If I don't know how to use a light switch, and I keep thinking I have to flip it down every time, the lights will never turn on. And then if I know how to use it, I have to recognize it's a composition. Something's made inside a certain way to help me benefit from that light switch properly. Why? Because if I just assume the movement of a switch turns it on, then if it's not turning on by the movement of the switch, I'm going to freak out. I'm not going to know what to do next. But if I know that it relays back to some circuits, if I can flip that circuit and make it function, then that's wonderful. And if that's not functioning there, the composition of it requires it to go back to its source, there might be some breakdown on the way. Everything needs to know. If you have a car, you have a nice truck, and it helps you haul things back and forth, and it's very practical, and then what happens is you decide one day I need to fill up gas, and you borrow your friend's truck to help move out of your apartment to another apartment or to another home, and then before you return it to do them a favor, you fill it up with gasoline, and then what you do is you fill it up with diesel rather than unleaded, or unleaded rather than diesel, because you fill up your car with unleaded, and that truck is a diesel truck. Now you've returned to them a truck that will not move until some repairs have to be done. So we have to know the composition, the intricacies of things. We're human beings. If we don't know what we're made of and how we function, then it's going to be very difficult for us to be able to function properly. So that's where we are. So the human being is actually made of two things. Insan is made of two things. The human being is made of two things. The first, or not the first, but one of the two things is known as the body. The body is the jism or the jasad. And the other thing is called the soul. The ruh, the soul. Now everything has a factory. So what's the factory of the body? What's the factory of the soul? Everything is made somewhere. Our clothing is made somewhere. This microphone is made somewhere. This eraser is made somewhere. This dry erase board is made somewhere. We have these tags everywhere. Made in China, made in Pakistan, made in India, made in Israel, wherever they're made. Made in America. So, what is the tag for our body? What is the tag for our soul? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually divided this world into, so everyone has this down? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually created this world in two parts. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. That, you don't have to, I'm just saying those who are taking notes, if you have it down, at least in your mind you have it down.
They were saying the room is working now, mm-hmm. So they're like, let's go back a little bit.
Okay, so now I'll move back.
Yeah.
Okay. It's very demanding, people. Is there anything else I should do? I'm joking. It's good. It's not appropriate that the women's side is always cut off. We have to maintain proper separation. But proper separation doesn't mean we don't honor the women. They come in, they put in this dark room, this dark alley, and you know, it doesn't work that way. Proper entrance, proper lighting, proper seating, proper comforts. Actually, you have a kitchen. We don't have that over here. And then everything should be there. In fact, you know, and we have a camera here, so if the sisters ever need to see the imam, that's there as well. Although you're not really missing on anything, but everything's there for you. So inshallah, if you have anything that needs to be changed, you'll just let us know, inshallah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the world. Rather than erase this, I'm going to use a different color marker. And He's made the world into two parts. How low is this going? Do you know? All of it. Okay. So the entire world, which I'll write in black, comes in two parts. So there's two parts of the world that we exist in today. So what's the world? The world is something called alam. This is an ayn, not a kaf. The English transliteration, A-L. A-M. That's the world. Alam. There's two parts to this world. There's Alam al-Khalq. And there's Alam al-Amr. Alam al-Khalq is the realm, the world, the realm in which creation takes place through the act of creation. Creation takes place through the act of creation. And I'll mention that, what that means. Alam al-Amr is when creation takes place through the act of command. Two types of methods of creation are mentioned in Quran. One, إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees a command. This is the realm of command. Amr means command. إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ. Verily he has to say upon it for this command, كُن, be, فَيَكُون. It becomes. B, and it comes to existence. But then Allah Ta'ala also says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ عَلَقٍ, or هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ, that He is the one, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ, who created, this means command, this means created, created سَمَاوَاتِ, the heavens, وَالْأَرْضِ, and the earth, فِي, in the duration of سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ, six different periods, which we'll call days, 6 days. Now, if Allah Ta'ala is all-powerful, He neither needs to create through something over a period of time, nor does He even need to give a command. Upon His will, it could be complete. But this is for further lessons. See, sometimes people say, well, why is that there? That's there for a deeper lesson. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, everything that's in the heavens and above is alam al-amr. It's been created by the process of command. Everything below the heavens is alam al-khalq. It's created by the process of creation, as we would consider by building or making something. So when Allah Ta'ala decides to create mankind, what did He make us out of? Clay, dirt, dust, however you want to refer to it. He made us from this earth material. And that we exist in the heavens or in the earth. Where do we exist?
Earth.
Earth. So thus, remember we said everything below the heavens is going to be alam al-khalq. This is below the heavens. So the body is made from in alam by the process of alam al-khalq. The soul is above the heavens, alam al-arwah, or in the heavens, alam al-arwah, the realm of the souls. That's in the heavens. That's made by amr. So now we have two parts of our existence. One that was done in a process that we're more familiar with over a period of time, and one that was done upon divine command. And those two things come together to form what? The human being. Those two things come together to form what? A human being. Now, to understand this a bit further, we have to understand why and how are things created and what drives these particular parts of our existence. So I'll erase the board right now. This might be a little easier to follow than random arrows everywhere. So now you have certain categories. You have the realm, or the world, the alam, and you have the human and how they're divided. Then comes what commands, what runs these systems. You have a car, there's a driver. You have, a cell phone, there's a battery. Everything runs a system. Or the cell phone has a computer chip that runs it. Something runs a system, has an antenna, whatever the case may be. Everything has a system. The human being has two parts. What runs these systems? So the soul is run by something called the qalb, which is known as the heart. This is not the physical heart. Do not think it's that thing when you open up the chest cavity and you find the physical heart that beats, that's the same thing. Qalb is different. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Verily, without a doubt, the heart gains certain rust or filth or coating over it from the sins a person commits. مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, from what they've committed, what they've earned. You open up the chest cavity of a sinner versus a saint, their heart looks the same in open heart surgery. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah puts a seal over their hearts. You open up the chest cavity of someone who sinned to that point where they've been sealed away from guidance, you will still not find anything but the similar physical structure to that person whose heart is of that of a saint. Now interesting in that verse, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, Allah seals the heart. What's He mentioned next? عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةً, that He then seals the ears and He puts a veil over the eyes. Now many people might fit that description in this world due to their distance from Allah and the sins they've constantly accumulated and their denial of Allah. But we don't find people with seals over their eyes. And we don't find people with veils over their eyes and coverings over their ears. And we can speak to someone who speaks and who acts as human in the middle of their submergence in sin as someone who's a saint. Nothing's different. It's not like a sinner you can tell, oh, they have this special cataract that covers their eyes. Some of the greatest scholars and most pious people have cataracts over their eyes. It's not a physical thing. They can see and speak like we see and speak, but their heart cannot see the truth. Their heart cannot listen to the truth. Abu Jahl's eyes, they worked nicely. So did his ears. And his heart beat. He didn't die of a heart attack. But he could not see the truth. Thus, the man known as Abu al-Hakam, the father of wisdom, could not see the truth. The Prophet ﷺ said that if his wisdom cannot lead to him seeing and hearing the truth, lead him to the truth, then he's the father of ignorance, Abu Jahl. In that same way, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. The A'ma here is whom? Abdullah bin Maktum radiallahu anhu. And he was known as Sahabi, which characteristic? He was blind. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى. He showed displeasure, he turned away. أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. When came to him Al-A'ma, the blind man. But are we going to say وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ? No, there's no غِشَاوَةٌ in his eyes. He saw with clarity even though his eyes were not functioning. He saw with clarity even though his eyes were not functioning. He saw it with the, eyes of the heart. This is the difference between basira and basara. So the human being's heart is what dictates the soul. Is that
funny? If you like, no, I got this for myself.
One day someone should do that. Should come and sit and then they start drinking and the person will start reaching. That'll be funny. Now the body also has a command system. It's known as the nafs. The nafs is like the carnal self, the carnal desires, those inner self that drives us towards something. That's what the nafs is. It's our drive, it's our desire, it's our self. You know, I can't control myself. What does that mean? My drive inside is overwhelming me to do something that I don't necessarily want to do. You know, I know I should be on a diet, but I just can't control myself. I can't control my nafs. That's what it means. I can't control my nafs. I want to be nice to my students. I want to be nice to my parents. I want to be nice to my teachers. I want to be nice to my spouse. But sometimes I just can't control myself. Meaning what? The nafs gets out of hand. Everyone same page so far? Okay. Now, why is it that the command... So now, okay, so everyone's here. Can they see this as well? This bottom part? Okay.
Yeah.
So now the self actually has three categories. And anyone from DeKalb should be able to tell me the three categories. I must have mentioned this 100 times while I've lived there. Three categories. Now what's beautiful is that everything so far is from Quran. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمَرُ. Verily to him, whose him Allah belongs, the creation and the command. The realm of creation and the action of creation and the realm of command and the action of command all belong to Allah. Ruh. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. They ask about the soul. What's the next part? قُلْ
الْرُوحُ مِنْ
أَمْرِهِ. قُلْ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. It's from his command and his realm of command. See, all these things are in Quran. People say, brother, where do you get this from? I get it from the same book that you read it. How do you get it? Actually, I'm more foolish than you are. I just happen to have a teacher who guides me on this. Then the next question should be not, well, where's the proof for the teachers? It should be, how can I also find a teacher? Our issue is that nafs sometimes gets a little wild. And it's all in Quran. So the bottom, jism and jasad, it's all over Quran, it's all over hadith. The self, nafs, I even mentioned nafs, nafsi wa ma sawaha. The nafs has three portions. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said from last week, wa nafsi wa ma sawaha. And he swears by the nafs, ma sawaha, how he apportioned it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا. Some of it will go towards evil, wa taqwaha. Some of it will be inclined or inspired towards good, taqwa, righteousness. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is the one who purified his nafs. It went towards righteousness. وَقَدْ خَابَ. Deprives that one. مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Whose nafs stung him, who just took advantage of him. because it led him to do what it wants, not what he wanted. Now, no one says, okay, my body can't do it, my soul wants to do it, my soul's doing it, my body doesn't want to do it. It works together. So we know how these work together. We don't ever see any difference between the two. I mean, Allah, He commands both, He did both, and the world exists with both. That's how they're united. This, no one says, guys, I just need a minute, my soul's outside, it's gonna come back in a few minutes. No one says that. In fact, when the soul is partially departed from the body, what do we call it? Sleep. Yeah, no. And when it's fully departed from the body, we call it death. There's a big difference. The sister of death, sleep, is, but not complete death. But you can't wake up until there's a return and they fully join each other. So now what's the relationship between these two things? This is where the question comes from many people. Where does this come from? So the self, the nafs, has three categories.
He's purple.
In the end of Surah Fajr, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ O you tranquil or successful soul. The tranquility brings, it's the soul of اطمينان. طمأنينة. It has tranquility. It gained that peace, it gained success. This is the soul that is completely at peace with its obedience and submission to Allah. Not the soul, the self, excuse me. So you can label this the successful soul. Or the self, sorry, or the obedient self. And honestly, when things obey happily, you know, a husband and wife that just listen to each other happily, طمأنينة, they're مطمئن, they have no problem. That child that listens to his parents usually has no problem, happily. It's the ones that begin to, you know, go against each other, that's when the struggle begins. Then لوامة. لوامة, I would say, is the struggling self. The blameworthy. لَوْمَتَا لَائِمْ, right? لَوَامَ, it's the blameworthy. It always blames itself. It struggles with that blame. And I'll mention what that means in a moment. This Surah Fajr, this Surah Qiyamah, لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ لَوَامَ. Sometimes it does good when it's commanded to do so, and sometimes it can't. Sometimes it sees something it shouldn't see, it lowers its gaze right away, and sometimes it maintains the glance. Sometimes it obeys the parents, sometimes it disobeys the parents. But when it disobeys, it's not happy with it. Later, maybe not at that moment, but later the remorse comes in. It's the remorseful, the blameworthy self. Then amara is actually amaratum bisu, if you're going to say completely. Because amara just means commanded. But amaratum bisu, it's commanded towards evil. This is in the story of Surah Yusuf. The very beginning of the 13 juz, وَمَا أُبَرِئُ النَّفْسِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Verily my nafs was inclined or commanded towards evil. She couldn't control herself. It went towards evil. أَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ can be that transgressing self. Transgressing self. Now, what we have is, and these are not literal translations. They're contextual translations. Now what we have is this type of breakup, where we have the self, the nafs, has three types. Some ulama say five. Some say even more, but we'll do the three from Quran. The one that's mutma'inna, the one that's lawama, and that's amara bisu. Now, so the nafs can go one of three ways. It can be obedient, it can be disobedient, or it can struggle in the middle. So now what comes next? So how does a person decide that in this control of the body, what will cause it to be mutma'in, or mutma'inna, because nafs is feminine, versus amarat and bisu, or in between? So for that, we have to look at our cell phones. A cellular phone has what inside of it that allows us to get service? An antenna. Oh, that's incorrect, right? But antenna. Before the old cell phones, you see the antenna sticking out. Sometimes you have to pull it out. So Zach Morris took out a cell phone. You guys didn't know that reference refers to. But those of us old enough, we can understand. So the cell phone has an antenna. I mentioned this example before, I'll mention it again. If this facility has a basement, it doesn't that I know of. If we go down to the basement, what happens to the service? It goes down. And the deeper the basement is,
the worse the service is.
Why? Is the cell phone prejudice against basements? I don't like basements. When I was younger, someone came and beat me up in a basement. That's not what happened. Why is it? What caused the basement to be so problematic to the cell phone? It is?
Reception.
Yeah, it's a reception due to the?
Covering.
The covering. What the tower or the satellite is firing down every moment signals. And when it gets a direct shot, that antenna absorbs the signal and then the cell phone is able to function. But when certain layers come over it, these coverings come over it, now the satellite knows what it's doing, and the antenna knows what it's supposed to do. But there's things that are blocking its reception. The heart is the same way. That verse I mentioned, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that this rust that covers the heart, Allah is sending His divine signals of obedience, and the heart is a receptor, it's an antenna. But in between are all these layers of filth due to excessive sin or just some sin that cause it not to come in completely. Look at a bright sunny day. There's those days where it's really nice and sunny, but there's those even those white cumulus clouds, the fluffy ones, right? But there's those days where there's not a cloud in the sky. Now that sun is reaching its full capacity, it's completely hitting the earth. It's completely bright. In comparison to those days where it's so dark outside, before a big storm, that you might think it's only 2 p.m. but it looks like it's Maghrib. The sun is getting something through, but not everything's getting through because of that cover. Because of that cover, not everything's getting through. So the heart is trying to receive it. And the satellite, Allah is sending it. But then our mistakes and sins have covered up the receptor or the antenna, which is the heart. Everyone's with me so far. Can I need to erase this now? Can I erase? This term from Quran and Hadith. This term is not from Quran and Hadith. That's why you don't find it. So people say, well, where does that come from? I mean, this describing term, the category term is not there. But this isn't Quran and Hadith. I don't even know how to put into words that there are some things that just don't come in Quran and Hadith. Just the concept is clear. The concept is clear. So the concept here is clear. There's various concepts that are acceptable in deen even though the term does not exist. Like every science that we study nowadays. I was mentioning last night, right? You never see the hadith, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ضربة 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 ضربنا ضربتا. Right? You don't see that. No, you'll get to it shortly in Arabic. But you don't, this whole verb chain. You don't see Hazrat Abu Hurairah saying, sorry? Yeah, كل فاعل مرفوع كل مفعول منصوب وكل مضاف إليه مجرور. Or, أدرس النحو. You know, you don't hear that. There's certain things that just are acceptable. Okay, so we're good? Now let's move. Yeah? Okay. You ever have those teachers that just, and they just start writing? It really annoys me. But not so much that I won't leave a few spots up there either. And then you try to give tawajjuh, like, just fire that one signal to make them erase it. They're not going to erase it. Okay, so now this one hadith I want all of us to look at. The hadith goes, I'm not going to write the Arabic, I'll say the Arabic. Okay, there's two hadith, sorry. Ala inna fil jasadi. Ala is harf tanbih. It's drawing our attention. Verily in the body. Remember jasad? So this is where jasad's coming from. Is what? It's a mudgha. La mudgha. Iza salahat comes first. Iza salahat, salaha jasad kulluhu. Salaha jasad. Duhu jasadahu. Duhu is fa'il there. The body, because, yeah, that would be the fa'il. Doesn't make it rectified, it rectifies the body. Just this, صَلَحَ جَسْدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ جَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. I think it should be mansub. Anyway, I'll think about it for a moment. That every body has a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ, when it becomes rectified, the entire body becomes rectified. And when it becomes corrupt, the entire body becomes corrupt. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Verily, haftan bi, getting our attention, it is the heart. So the heart here, very clear. If it is rectified, if it's straight, if it's not corrupt, the body will also be straight, it'll be pure, it'll be sound, it'll be whole. But if this receptor is now corrupted, then the entire body will become corrupted. Now there's another hadith, and I'm going to put the not the entire English hadith, but just notes on the board, where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, كُلُّ مَوْلُود, every child, يُولَدُ, is born عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ, is born on fitrah. What's fitrah? On a natural disposition. Natural disposition. Now, before I put whatever I'm putting on the board, we have to have a brief discussion about basic philosophy. And basic philosophy puts human beings on one of three planes. There is the plane of tabula rasa, which means what? Clean slates. There's no sin on a person when they're born. Then there's this philosophical, then there's the school of thought of original sin, which is primarily going to be, for all practical purposes right now, the Christian theological stance. That there's original sin, that mankind was born with original sin, and then the whole role of Christ, etc. We're not going to get into that. Due to the mistake or error of the... I feel bad saying it, but our parents, namely Hawa, alayhi salam, but, you know, and we share the blame. We say, first of all, this was all Allah's will. It's actually a really beautiful hadith. That one time Prophet Musa, and this is where people say, well, where do you get this alam from? Alam al-arwah that you're talking about. There's a clear hadith that one day Prophet Adam alayhi salam and Prophet Musa alayhi salam had a nice debate. Now where did that happen? Not on earth, because they didn't live together. It happened in the heavens. And it happened, not it will happen. It was the realm of the souls. And that's where a lot of the dreams take place, when our souls depart from our bodies partially, almost completely, not completely though, at night, and whatever left is holding, binding us together, there's interaction in the spiritual, the alam arwah, the spiritual, or the spirit realm. And from many of those interactions, we get true dreams. So, there's a conversation. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, are you Adam? And he said, yes. He said that, tell me that how could you, like he was blaming him, how could you eat from the fruit? It's because of you we were dispelled, we were expelled, excuse me, from paradise. So Prophet Adam alayhi salam turned to him and said what? That, right now alhamdulillah, things on the board, so don't worry, you're not missing anything. That, the Torah that you're given, this Torah, was it, when was it written? He said, this is Kalam Allah, so it's eternal. And so he said that before all of our creation, this was already established. I'll use the word established. It was, the word of Allah was there, the Torah was there. Before Musa alayhi salam existed, before Adam alayhi salam existed. So he said, tell me, am I going to now be blamed for something that was written before I even was born? So then the hadith mentioned, and then Adam alayhi salam won, or he actually made quiet Musa alayhi salam. He won that debate. Then people say, well, okay, now we get into the whole issue of free will and predestiny. That's a different topic for a different day. If you have the question, we'll discuss it later, just not right now. But the general principle is, we never say, oh, that was meant to happen as an excuse. So if someone says that, you know, I have a big exam tomorrow, and if I do well, I'll get into dental school. For example, in a month, and I say, well, why aren't you studying? Oh, these things are all predestined anyway, I don't need to study. That's the abuse of it. The good use of it, according to this hadith, the principle is that you go forward and you study really hard. And you make dua, and you use your time wisely, and you go take the exam, and na'udhu billah, for some reason you don't perform well. Then you say, this was pre-written. Because you did your part, but then the result didn't come as you wanted, it came as Allah Ta'ala wanted. We have to wrap up soon today. Realize that Isha is earlier today. We changed the time starting today to 8:45. So there's two hadith that we mentioned, that the heart, when there's a piece of flesh, when it is sound, the body is sound. When it is corrupt, the body is corrupt. This is the piece of flesh. It is what? The heart. In the main hadith, every child... So we said clean slate, and we said original sin. The Islamic perspective is neither. We say, yuladu ala fitrat al-Islam, the natural disposition towards submission, or towards Islam. Towards Islam or towards submission. I'm putting the word Islam up right now. So we actually naturally want to do good. And if you look at children who are not, you know, when they say their first lie, it's hard upon them. It's very difficult on them. Anytime some child commits his first mistake or first sin, it's very difficult upon them because that's not their natural disposition. They're breaking away from their natural disposition. Now, very simple question for all of us. The child's heart, when it's born, how filthy, how dirty is it? It's clean. Why? What's the principle that we learn? مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. What does yaksibun mean? From what they earned, they accumulated. So what does that mean? Sin, or that covering on the heart, comes based upon a person's sins or actions. Good. The child has yet to
sin
or commit any act. Good. So we have the child's heart. It's sin or coverless. Nothing is covering over it. Now, if you're going to put a child in any of the categories of nafs, which nafs would you put it in? Yeah, forget the contextual translation of being successful. What's the actual translation of itminan tutma'nina?
For what you said?
Yeah.
You said obedience.
Relaxed, tranquil, at peace. And the child is definitely naturally in that state. And the child has no care for anything in the world. So if you could just feed it and change his diaper, it's cool. It doesn't need much. It's sleeping all the time. And it's happy. You know, and when we see babies, we naturally get happy as well. It has an effect on us. So the heart will say is this way. And the self, the nafs is tranquil and or obedient. Okay. Now, child grows. So now, what have we established now? What's the link between nafs and heart? That when the heart is sinless, the self is tranquil or successful or obedient. Good. Now that first hadith I mentioned, the heart, there's a piece of flesh in your heart, in your body, when it is sound, when it's unaffected, the body is sound, unaffected. Is there any individual out there, generally speaking, whose heart is more sound than a baby, spiritually speaking? We're not talking about the physical one. No. Is there any person whose body is less corrupt, is born in a natural state, less natural than the babies? No. No. So they're directly connected. Now let's take the opposites. Let's take the people who amaratum bisu. Their selves are pushing hard towards evil. They don't even have an inclination towards good. Now, the theory is what? This being the receptor, being the antenna, is receiving all the signals with ease. And so, it's tranquil, it's content, it's happy obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a good self. Whereas, you take the opposites. The signals are not coming in. When the signals are not coming in, from who's the divine satellite over here, for lack of better words? Who's sending the signals? Allah. So if Allah's ta'ala's signals are not getting there, then there's a void, and nothing lives in a vacuum. So shaitan takes advantage of this, and he does what? Look at Surah Nas. What does he do? Yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. He whispers into the chest or the heart of mankind. So there's some discussion about this, and then it's lengthy. So we'll just say this much: there's a reason why qalb one is not used and sadr is used. But the general idea is that he, when this heart, which is directly commanding the soul, is connected to the self, which is commanding the body. And so now, remember, what was the hadith? That when the heart is sound, the what is sound? Whole, wholesome? The what? The body. Does the heart command the body? No, it commands the
soul.
And what commands the body?
The nafs,
the self. That means this and this are connected. Because this purity is leading to this acting in such a way that its object that is commanding the body is functioning properly. So this duality is actually connected. When the heart receives it, it gets the soul on one page, and it's connected to the self that gets the body on one page, they function together. You know, people who are just torn, you know, what does it mean to be torn? I'm torn. It means that you don't know which way to go, I don't know which one to do. People who are nafsul lawama, they are torn. I just got an email from one of my former students from high school, just literally about 8 hours ago, this morning, that he's speaking about a relationship, and what do I do now that I'm in? He's not married. He's like, what do I do? He's torn. He's like, I feel myself spiritually declining. What do I do? Because this is saying one thing, this is saying another. This is saying, I want, I want, I want. Remember, the self, it calls what it wants. And the heart is saying, no, 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 I gotta stop. We're out of time. We'll have to continue this next week. No questions for this week. We'll ask for that one. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. 8:40. It's 8:40. We have to call Adhan. What time does Isha come in? 44. Okay. We'll stop here. Is it time? Okay. We'll stop here. We'll call Adhan. We'll pray. Next week we'll get into it. I understand we're being very academic, but the reason we have to be academic is because people attack the science. Although it's clear in Quran and Hadith. So we have to pull everything out by Quran and Hadith and show that this is okay. The way people have deviated and done things that are not permissible, that we shun. But the principles are okay. Okay? Well, after that one, I'm going to be honest.